Thank you for the invitation, Alex. Today I want to talk briefly about the evidence behind different carriers management strategies. And I want to do this by first reviewing the results from a systematic review we conducted last year on management strategies for non-cavitated carious lesions. This is published in Community Dentistry and Oral Epidemiology, if someone is interested in reading a little bit more about this. I also want to briefly discuss some of the evidence recommendations for management made by the International Carious Classification and Management System. And finally, briefly discuss some of the emerging technologies that are available for managing these early lesions. So we all know that the diagnosis of early carious lesions is a critical component for the non-surgical management of dental caries, and there are different secondary preventive measurements or strategies that aim to arrest or reverse the caries process, but these are not being utilized efficiently because, as Dr. Ismail was mentioning before, these are not really recognized under current remuneration systems here in the U.S. and in many other countries. We also know that operative care has remained the key management strategy for controlling the caries process, and this has impacted in a negative way the quality of life of patients, the clinical outcomes, and the disease epidemiology. So we knew that the evidence for supporting the efficacy of these management strategies for addressing non-cavitated caries lesions was limited, and that was the rationale for conducting the review. We searched different databases, and we ended up including only 29 papers that actually met our inclusion criteria. We were looking at mainly clinical trials, randomized clinical trials conducted in human subjects and natural carious lesions. We excluded the studies that had incomplete descriptions of outcomes or sample selection and small sample sizes, or that actually didn't meet the criteria under the therapy category from the Oxford Center for Evidence-Based Medicine. We were looking at different clinical outcomes, so not only caries incidence and increments or differences in progression between test and control groups, but also different fluorescence measures, because a lot of these studies actually use QLF or diagnoden for detecting these early lesions. All the data was extracted independently by two different persons and reviewed by a third. And we actually evaluated the quality of all the studies using ADA clinical guidelines for clinical trials and Cochrane parameters. So we were mainly interested in looking at the comparability of the groups at baseline, in differential losses to follow-up, improper control of confounding factors, blinding, and allocation concealment. And based on these different criteria, we developed a scoring system. So all the papers were classified as being good, fair, or poor. What did we find? As you can see, most of the studies were looking at the efficacy of fluorides with different vehicles, and actually 8 out of 13 studies reported significant differences between test and control. I can say that a lot of the studies that were looking at varnishes and toothpaste in high parts per million concentrations were actually effective in avoiding the progression of these early lesions or arresting them. For chlorhexidine, xylitol, and combination of strategies, mainly looking at fluoride varnishes and chlorhexidine varnish, the quality of the studies was actually poor, so the information that we could, or the conclusions that we could infer from these literature were more limited. There were six studies looking at casein derivatives, CPP-ACP and CPP-ACFP. A lot of these studies have been conducted in populations abroad, not in the U.S., and actually two out of six reported significant differences, mainly for permanent dentition. And some of the studies that were looking at sealants and resin infiltrants for managing early lesions had actually good quality. For those of you who are not familiar with resin infiltrants, these are basically, this is very similar to a sealant, but it's basically a highly fluid resin that pretty much penetrates the early enamel caries lesion and avoids the diffusion of acids by doing so. So I will not provide a whole lot of detail about the background of the ICCMS because Dr. Ismail just did that, but I just want to state that one of the important aspects from ICCMS is that obviously it's compatible with modern international education conventions such as those proposed by ORCA and by the ADEE, which is equivalent to ADEA but in Europe, and the new CODA standards in the US. The ICCMS also looked at the evidence of different management strategies for both early and cavitated lesions, and in doing this, the SIGN system was used. SIGN stands for the Scottish Intercollegiate Guidelines Network, and it's a system that has two components, the levels of evidence, which go from 1++ to 4, which corresponds to expert opinion, and it also has grades of recommendation. And it is important to note that the grades of recommendation under SIGN are directly related to the strength of evidence supporting their recommendation, but not to the clinical relevance of the recommendation. So this system was used, again, to look at studies that had outcomes both at the cavitated and non-cavitated levels. And not to our surprise, we found that for a lot of these management strategies, there isn't enough clinical data to actually support or provide a specific recommendation, and a lot of these studies actually have from some like low to moderate risk of biases, and there was also some quality criteria developed to assess the quality of these studies. A lot of these technologies might have some potential, as it is the case of arginine and probiotics, but at this stage, the number of studies is very limited, and the few clinical trials that have been conducted are not sufficiently solid to be able to provide that recommendation. Finally, I want to briefly discuss some emerging technologies. Probably we'll hear about them more in the next coming years. One of them is known as biomimetic remineralization, and there are different types. This basically aims to replicate some of the qualities that the biologic enamel has, and you can find it in the literature as a synthetic nanohydroxyapatite. There are some other efforts using hypochlorite, and for those of you that are familiar with the Canberra recommendations, this is something that they actually recommend in their management options. There are not too many studies looking at the efficacy of these, only one clinical study that was conducted in Australia, which actually demonstrated reductions in bacterial loads, but not improvement in caries clinical outcomes. So the evidence is limited. Theobromine is an alkaloid that is found in cocoa and chocolate and seems to promote or enhance the remineralization process in vivo studies. And finally, we will probably also hear about FTP, which is functionalized tricalcium phosphate, which is now commercially available in toothpaste and varnish, and it basically aims to improve the uptake of fluoride. So as I was mentioning before, there are limited number of studies on these technologies, but probably we'll hear about them more in the next coming years. So from the reviews, we could conclude that basically fluoride interventions and those studies looking at sealants and resin infiltrants seem to have the most consistent effect in avoiding the progression of these early lesions. And this is obviously in accordance or aligned with the guidelines that were proposed by the American Dental Association in 2008 related to the sealing of non-cavitated caries lesions. For xylitol and chlorhexidine, the evidence is more limited, as I was mentioning before. They seem to not really demonstrate significant differences in progression of these early lesions. And for casein derivatives, there seems to be some evidence for when this product is delivered as a gum. So there are studies that have used this in protocols in which the participants use gum for about 10 minutes, three times a day, and this has actually demonstrated reductions in about 18% of the development of white spot lesions. This was actually a clinical trial that was very well conducted with a sufficiently large sample size, and it was scored as having a high quality when compared with the other 28 studies that we looked at for evaluating the efficacy in early lesions. And I think that's all I wanted to share today. Thank you very much.